With friends and strangers, with family and neighbors, we gather. Come among us, healing God, with the love that never ends, with faith reaching out to touch, with hearts joining in trust. Come among us, nurturing God, with your compassion which makes us whole, with word and wonder, with silence and song, we wait. Come among us, loving God, to lift us to our feet to follow you.
Good morning. Please join us in singing number 76, Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord. Please stand to sing that. We will sing all three verses heartily.
Introduce? Well, my sister and brother-in-law are here, and their friends Cassie and Nathan. Is there anyone else? All right, then I would ask to invite all of the children to the front for the children's story.
Hello. So, how's everyone? Good. So today, Pastor Gary is going to be talking about, Pastor Gary, a.k.a. Dad. He's going to talk about healthy living, of loving each other and caring for each other. And in church, when we get together, we draw the best out of each other. So I'm going to read you a book, or part of a book. You can read the rest of the book at your own leisure at some point. Okay, so the book is called Have You Filled a Bucket Today? All day long, everyone in the whole wide world walks around carrying an invisible bucket. You can't see it, but it's there. You have a bucket. Each member of your family has a bucket. Your grandparents, friends, and neighbors all have a bucket. Everyone carries an invisible bucket. Your bucket has one purpose only. Its purpose is to hold your good thoughts and good feelings about yourself. You feel very happy and good when your bucket is full. And you feel very sad and lonely when your bucket is empty. You fill a bucket when you show love to someone, when you say or do something kind, or even when you give someone a smile. That's being a bucket filler. A bucket filler is a loving, caring person who says or does nice things that make others feel special. When you make someone feel special, you are filling a bucket. But guess what? When you fill someone's bucket, you fill your own bucket too. You feel good when you help others feel good. And bucket filling is fun and easy to do. It doesn't matter how young or old you are. It doesn't cost any money. It doesn't take much time. And remember, when you fill someone else's bucket, you fill your own too. When you're a bucket filler, you make your home, your school, and your neighborhood better places to be. It makes everyone feel good. So why not decide to be a bucket filler today and every day? Just start each day by saying to yourself, I'm going to do something to fill someone's bucket today. And at the end of each day, ask yourself, did I fill a bucket today? Yes, I did. That's the life of a bucket filler. And that's you. So, in response to this book, we have some buckets, and we're going to put a few, although it doesn't cost any money to be a bucket filler. This is chocolate money. We're going to put some in the bucket, and we ask you to fill someone else's bucket. So,
and how do they do that?
By sharing one of these, or two, or all, whatever you feel. So we'll pass those out to you. And we'll quickly pray. Dear God, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for all the church members here and for our friends and family and neighbors. Please help us to be a bucket filler and to care for others as you would care for them as well. Amen. Beautiful music. If you would all please turn in your bulletins.
And if anyone has anything for community life to share, let me know. I'm going to highlight number 3. Next Saturday is our AGM, so please read this in the bulletin, and we would love to have you be part of it. And number 4, something exciting is happening here. A search committee is in place for the part-time faith development pastor position. So keep your eyes open for the development in that one. And number 5, we are having a faith exploration class, and it is open to everyone. So please take a look at that announcement as well. And then on the back of your bulletins, if you look, next Sunday, the First Mennonite Church Choir will be joining us as a choir exchange program. And our choir will be going to First Mennonite on February 25th. Yeah, so is there anything else that you would like to highlight for the announcements?
Choir will be starting practice at 9 o'clock next Sunday.
In lieu of our exchange, we will need to sing next Sunday at 9 o'clock. So choir members, please come. And anyone else who wants to join the choir, please come.
Thank you. Oh, and Lainey has something.
For those of you who are on the email list for the choir, Betty sent out a notice to say that there will be a big volunteer choir singing for Alice's funeral on Wednesday. Henry Engbecht will be conducting, and anybody who would like to join is asked to come for rehearsal at 12:30.
Thank you, Lainey. That goes nicely into sharing time. So our condolences go out to the family of Alice Pound. The funeral will take place here at North Kildonan Mennonite Church on Wednesday, the 24th, at 2 p.m. And so we will now sing a memorial hymn for Alice Pound. Will you please turn in your blue hymnal to number 336? Thank you.
Please stand to sing verse 1 and 4.
Number 2 for the sharing. George and Erica Friesen are pleased to announce the engagement of their son, Curtis Friesen, to Stephanie Hebert, the daughter of Tim and Ingrid Hebert. So a wedding will be in August. Is there anything else that anyone would like to share this morning? All right. Then we will move into singing. You can take the insert out, please. Oh, I'm sorry, Charles.
Hello. Well, I would like to say, and I think I speak for everyone here when I say how much we have all known and loved Alice Pound. And at the same time, we have three ministers that are excellent in their own ways. And they probably had a fist fight as to who was going to officiate. But, you know, we're blessed. And Alice always made me feel blessed. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for sharing, Charles. Yes, she's very loved here. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about that? All right, we'll turn into our inserts to sing one of the songs.
This looks like it's an unfamiliar song, but we have sung it before. It comes from the Zimbabwe tradition, so let us sing it with a traditional beat and rhythm and something like that.
Prayer. Dear God, thank you for all of the blessings in our lives, for families, church families, friends, colleagues, neighbors, and strangers, for the resources to take care of our health physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and relationally, that your love, your word, like a seed, may grow to produce in us good fruit. Please be with the leaders of various nations and cities, that they may lead with strong hearts and gentle hands and generous spirits, with compassion and mercy, with wisdom and grace. May they reflect your will guiding all their actions and decisions. Please be with those who suffer from any illness or disease of mind, body, or spirit. May you shower each of us with healing, mercy, and love. Please be with those who are dying and for those who have died. Send forth your comforting love. Give solace to those who mourn. Console those who grieve. May your grace surround us like a mantle upon our heads, a shawl upon our shoulders, a hand to hold our hand. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd like to call the ushers forward for the offering. actually, fun fact, I grew up listening to that song while I was trying to go to sleep. But Mom had the quiet pedal on, so. We'll be reading quite a bit of Ephesians, so get comfortable. Ephesians 4, 1 to 8, 11 to 13, 32, Ephesians 5, 1 to 2, and 15 to 20. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is what it says. When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
It's been a while. Let's take a minute just to recognize that God is with us. God, it is so wonderful to get together as your people, to greet each other, to feel the encouragement, to sing the songs of faith that draw us back to that place that reminds us that you are here, that you are good, that life is a wonderful gift. Help us to hear you speaking this morning through all that is done. Amen. So, you're a pretty hardworking, diligent, disciplined bunch. Wonder if any of you exercise on purpose. You know, do mall walking or do Pilates or you've bought some equipment and you actually use it. So, do some of you exercise? Look at that. Amazing. How about eating? Are you careful to not go to fast food places too often? Watch your sugar consumption, you know. Canada Food Guide, make sure you get your vegetables in there. Any of you a little bit careful with your eating? Yes, you are. Well, today I want to give you a break. Don't worry about it. You're hardworking. You're a wonderful bunch. You know, instead of going mall walking, go for breakfast with a friend. Instead of going to Pilates class, there's some really excellent documentaries on Netflix. There really are. And as far as eating, you know, donut, broccoli, come on.
Dad.
I'm trying to preach here, maybe?
Yeah, but you're kind of giving bad advice.
But I'm trying to give them a break. I mean, they're such nice, hardworking people. Do they have to exercise on top of everything else? Come on.
But it's not making life better. And in fact, it's making it worse. Healthy living has a lot of benefits. Exercise keeps your body moving, especially as you age.
Okay. Remember
that guy in Steinbeck who was in his 90s and still incredibly healthy? When he asked the doctor why he was doing so well without medication, the doctor told him that his exercise was his medication. And you can ask any athletic therapist, physiotherapist, and other professionals in the field, and they'll tell you how important exercise is in healing, physically and mentally. And as far as what you eat goes, it is terribly important. Last year, when your brother was diagnosed with diabetes, amazing things happened when he completely changed his diet. He went from a high dose of blood pressure pills down to none. So healthy living doesn't guarantee we won't get diseases like ALS, cancer, or heart disease, but it makes a big difference in our lives.
Okay. Like I was saying, good for you for doing your exercise and for eating properly. Since my health changed a few years ago, we've been trying to change our eating habits under the direction of my daughters, not too hard to believe after what you just heard. Bless their hearts, they've been joining us in changing, and it makes a difference. I grew up in a home where my mother was fanatical about how we eat. She had the Canada Food Guide up on the wall, and we would eat like that. There was, you know, things were tight, and so there were things we did without, but we had balanced meals. And we would often have dessert, but it would be a small portion. And I remember thinking, one day I'm going to have money, and I'm going to eat dessert. So I think I was about 16 or so, and I got a job at a McLeod store after school. And I'm sure it was probably my first payday. I went down a break to that bakery. And I got a dozen honey-dipped donuts. I mean, I love these things, right? The first one was angel food. It was amazing. The sixth one was still pretty good. I'll tell you something. The 12th one made it hard to go back to work after the break. I wasn't feeling so great. But what we talked about with exercise is, and looking after ourselves, is what we often do with our spiritual lives. We say, yeah, you know, we're in. It's okay. And we heard that last week. Marv was reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. What does it say? It's by grace you have been saved through faith. Nothing you did. You can't take credit for it. Faith, that's it. Or the one verse everybody knows from the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his only son, so that whoever believes. And you're in. That's it, right? It's kind of like that old Tom Hall country music song, remember? Me and Jesus got a good thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Me and Jesus got a good thing going. Don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. There's an element of truth in that. And the truth is that there's somewhere along the way, which is what the sermon was about last Sunday, where we take a look inside and we say, need a little renovation here. And we turn around and through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we become children of God. That's it. We're in. But, if you've been here more than two Sundays, you've heard the but there's something we need to work at. We are not Tom Yoder Neufeld, who wrote a book on Ephesians. It's been mentioned the last 2 weeks. It's actually a really excellent commentary. Said, we're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. So what do? We say, well, I should probably go home and read my Bible once in a while. Maybe we should pray here and there. And going to church, being upstaged by my grandson here a little bit. But Paul in this passage takes it a step further. He said, okay, I want you to begin to exercise in your life in the church. And then in chapter well, the passage we're going to look at from chapter 4, 1 to verse 20 in chapter 5. He talks about that. The first 16 verses, three little pictures I want to mention quickly to tell us the how and why. The first one is fascinating. So Paul says, I'm a prisoner. We've got this picture of him sitting in jail, chained down, eating bread and water, whatever they ate in jail, and it's bad. And Paul looks at the church and he said, I want you to become prisoners in the church. What? Not only that, I want you to build the chain that holds you there. And then he tells us in this passage what some of the links of that chain that we're supposed to build are. The first link is humility. Now, we often think of humility as, you know, sitting in the back with your head down and hoping nobody talks to you or looks at you. But that's not what humility is at all. Humility is a proper self-evaluation or assessment. If I'm humble, I'm aware of what my strengths are. And I don't need to be finding ways to beg you to tell me how great I am. I also don't need to play that fun little Mennonite game where we tell people how terrible we are and they say, no, you're way better than that. Next time somebody shows you a picture of themselves and says, this is a terrible picture, say, no, that actually looks like you. It's kind of like that, right? Humility lets us put ourselves aside so that we can embrace other people. And we can be honest with them, as it says later in the passage, speaking the truth in love. And we can do that if we're not all worried about how it's going to make me look. Humility is hard work. The next one is gentleness or meekness. And again, it sounds like a sit in the back pew and keep your head down kind of thing, but it's not. It's about self-discipline. In gentleness, I reach out to you in caring and compassion and understanding. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I also discipline myself so that what you say doesn't affect me. I don't get hurt feelings because of what you say. You're blurting something out and it's fine. When I was working in the church, I would say to the staff, getting hurt feelings, feeling beleidigt, one of my 17 German words, is always a choice. And if you're going to work here, your choice is no. We don't have time for that nonsense. And Paul is saying too, gentleness, controlling how we take in what people do to us, being caring how we respond to them. The third one is patience. Now, some of you may have been watching the Barrett Jackson auction this last while, and they've got all the options on the car. I came from the factory missing this particular option. I've had to work at it really hard, patience that is. So what is patience? When I was young, on a Sunday morning, the dad's job was to wake up, make sure his pants were on the right way, and get in a car to drive to church. The mom's job, get up early, make sure there's dinner on, the timer's set, don't forget. Kids are fed and dressed, get out to the car on time. Patience was the dad not honking. That's not patience. Patience is the way that God treats us, waiting for us to respond, like the father of the prodigal son, waiting, ready to respond. Patience allows us or invites us to see the other person not as they are necessarily, but as they can be. Now, some of us, when we were younger, made some decisions which weren't the greatest. And there would be people rolling their eyes, saying, oh, that Gary Martins, what's the matter? What's this kid going to turn into? But there were always people who said, it'll be okay. He's going to be a great kid. It'll all work out. Those people believed in us, not what they saw, but what they knew was going to come. And they allowed us to believe in ourselves. Well, there's three that he lists here, and they start to sound like the fruit of the Spirit, don't they? Galatians 5, verse 22 and following. And there's lots more: compassion, understanding, forgiveness, love, empathy. All of those things are part of the chain that we build that links us to each other, that chains us down. what comes back to us? With this kind of hard work and discipline, what comes back? Well, first of all, when I work at them, I become a better person. I become who I wish I was. I also have an opportunity to care for someone else, and they, in response, care for me. And so when we build this chain and link ourselves together, it's hard work. And the payoff for that kind of spiritual health is amazing. And then it says, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We'll come back to bond of peace. Ah, it's not us that created unity, it's the Holy Spirit. True, but people who are very, very gifted in various areas, if it's music or academics or mechanics or sports, they still have to work at things. We've got a Winter Olympics coming up. So they find the best skaters and they say, oh, well, go hang out at Tim Hortons and make sure you show up at the Olympic Stadium on time so you can skate. I don't think so. There's a whole lot of work that goes on in there. And so the unity is created by the Spirit. And then he says to us, roll up your sleeves, crank up the treadmill. We got to work out ahead of us. The second little picture, better make this one a little faster. The second little picture says in verses 4 to 6, pardon me, you belong. You belong. And there's seven ones in there. One body doesn't speak about uniformity. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12, it says, the body's full of pieces, parts. One's the heart and one's the liver and one's the whatever else. We work together. The body also is controlled by the head. So here we are as a body recognizing the variety, recognizing that Jesus is there. One Spirit. Remember the story of Pentecost? Ordinary people come in, more than ordinary people go out. The Holy Spirit energizes, encourages, directs. It's amazing. One hope. Now, here's an interesting one. We don't get to choose what that is. The hope or the vision that is set before us is something that God gives. I'll give you a little spoiler here for the end. What is the hope that God brings? That we would find peace with God and with ourselves and with each other and with all humanity and with all creation, with the whole cosmos. That we would experience redemption rooted in the love of God. That's the hope that God sets before us. One hope, one Lord. This gets a little tricky. Sometimes we find a favorite author or a favorite preacher on TV or whatever, and we say, ha, there's somebody who understands, I'll just follow them. Paul had the same problem, 1 Corinthians 1:12. He said, some say I follow Paul or Apollos or Cephas, and he said, no, one Lord. Who's that? Let's try Jesus. One faith. This one gets dicey. The whole purpose of this passage is to include us, to draw us in, to say, you belong. And what do we do with one faith? Well, I grew up thinking one faith means you need to agree with me. I mean, why would I be wrong, right? And so throughout the history of the church, this has been this ongoing debate about what that one faith is. And we've argued about everything. When Jesus is going to come back, how many churches split over that one? The place of women in the church, divorce, everything you can imagine, we ask questions. What does it say? And I will tell you what it says. And if you don't agree with me, go start your own church. Just a minute. Isn't that the opposite of what the text is saying? Isn't the text saying that one faith draws us together? As an Anabaptist Mennonite people, we feel that Jesus teaches us that going to war is not a good idea. It's not how we live out our life. So we sit down for coffee with a good friend, and they said, no. As Christians, it's important that we go to war, because then we can show self-sacrifice, we can show how much we care for other people, we can be a good example. What are you going to do now? We're going to excommunicate him. We're going to say, you don't read your Bible. We say, you don't know Jesus. what we do at the end of the day is we say, here's our one faith. We are both committed to following Jesus with all the resources we have. We don't always agree with each other. And so after a nice long dialogue, we give the person a hug and we say, brother, sister, we're in this together. The one faith is us heading towards God, not us agreeing on every little point. One baptism. We've all committed to stand up and say in front of the world, I choose to follow Jesus. And finally, one God and Father who is over all, through all, and in all. What's he say? We belong. We're different, but we belong. It's like going to a family gathering. One uncle's got the top button buttoned up, and he's playing boggle with his nephew who's got ear-piercing tattoo and a t-shirt that says things you can't read out loud. And they're family. And they belong together. And what do they get from each other? What for all the work invested in this, what's the outcome? Well, we have a place when we celebrate, people who celebrate with us. And when we go through hard times, there are people who care about us and hold our hands. You people are amazing at that. Carol and I have just been overwhelmed by the way that you have embraced us as we've gone through some bumps. It's a place where we draw each other together and say, you matter. You matter. The third one, it's about, Paul says to the people, you're going to do some spiritual exercise. You're going to need some help. Tell you what, I'm going to send you some coaches, some trainers, some medical people to make sure that you got everything put together. Back to the Olympics. So we have these people coming up, and they're really good skaters, let's say, for instance. Without their coaches pushing them, prodding them, helping them, making sure that they've got the right medical backup and all that, they will not reach their peak. They can't. They need help. So the athletes, without the coaches, can't be all that they can be. On the other hand, what is a coach without somebody to coach? They're just an unemployed person that nobody listens to or pays, right? Nothing. And what Paul is saying here is, you know, to do this, binding each other together, belonging, it's going to take some good hard work. And I want you to listen to the coaches that we send you to help you be all you can. And by the way, you coaches, be on your A game here. Make sure that you also are watching how you live and are leading the people in appropriate ways. In verse 14, he pulls it together, and in 14, 15, 16, and he says, everything is held together in Christ who builds a church in love. That's the bottom line. Now, tax your memory here a little bit. The last Sunday of last June, we talked together about a passage in Matthew 7, you know, the one that says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And at that time we said, what we believe, our theology, isn't first place. The religious leaders in Jesus' day, they all believed the right thing. Kind of missed the mark. Even what we do isn't number one. Remember 1 Corinthians 13? I give my body to be burned. It doesn't mean anything without love. And so what the gospel is about is God, John 3:16, God so loved the world. Love was the basis of creation. Love was the basis of God calling us back. Love is the basis of God's future redemption of all things. And so we begin with love. Hard work rooted in love. Two more sections. We'll just do them very quickly. Starting in verse 17 to chapter 5, verse 2. He said, oh, by the way, you are different now. You used to sit on the couch, eat donuts, and watch Netflix. Still do a little bit of that. Now, there's a couple of things in your Christian life that we might want to let go of so that we can grow. Number one, don't be ignorant. Know what you believe. That takes some work. That's where we read our Bible. That's where we read good books. We come to church. We have Bible studies. Learn what you believe so that every time somebody comes along and has an idea, you don't say, oh, that sounds good. Off we go. Secondly, don't be led by your desires, first of all. There's some pretty strong ones. Desire to be wealthy, desire to be powerful, famous, follower, sex drives, whatever. That takes second place to following Jesus. Got to make that decision, he says. And the third one is, he says, quit being chain breakers. Don't remember the chain, honest, humility and gentleness and all that? He says, don't be dishonest with people. Don't lie to them. Don't be mooches. It's actually in there. You got to read a little bit carefully, but don't be unkind or unforgiving or unloving. That breaks down the church. You can't build a church if we're going to be gossiping about people. We've got to treat them, back to humility, remember? As we know they are inside, as wonderful people who God has placed in our life for us to care for them and for them in response to care for us. And he ends with those beautiful verses in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be like Jesus. Work out of love. There it is again. The final section, starting at verse 3 down to verse 17, he says, you are children of the light, so live like it. And he goes on to talk about how we should reflect that. So we've become humble and gentle and kind and compassionate and forgiving and loving and all those things. Why don't we let that show in our whole life? Here at church, at home, when you go to the supermarket, when you're driving down the... No, we shouldn't include driving in this one. Yeah. When you're driving down the road, when you're going to school, whatever we do, we let our light shine by living in the way that we have become. That's who we are. So let it shine. Sometimes people, what we grew up thinking, or I grew up thinking at least, that I'm a Christian and the world is evil and dark, and so I pull back the quiet in the land, the Mennonites were called. I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone. No, that's not what he says. He says, you're in the world. You got a light, it may change your whole being. So let it shine. It's not judging other people. It's just who we are. It's the best thing that happened to us. So why wouldn't we let it shine and let them see it too? Sometimes we think of, and sometimes we act this way, I suppose, that we put people down with what we say. One person talked about letting our light shine. They said, it's like sharing the gospel is like one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. No judgment. Not saying I'm better. I'm saying, look at this. There's some, wouldn't be donuts, it would be broccoli. Around the corner at the soup kitchen. They don't make donut soup, do they? No. They should start. And then he ends again with a comment of love. The passage wraps up, verse 18, 19, and 20, in a delightful hymn. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's what keeps us focused. It's what empowers us. It's what keeps our vision right. And speak to each other in hymns and songs and spiritual songs. Well, I looked in the Greek. You know what that means? The gazanku, the blue hymnal, the red hymnal, and praise and worship. It actually does. No, not in the Greek. What it means is, what's inside of you, let it bubble out. Something's changed. Let it bubble. I don't speak German. Well, I have 17 low German words down, pretty cold. But when I sit in the pews and I hear you begin to sing German songs, it sends a shiver through me because I can hear it coming from your soul. I don't know a word you're saying, but I know exactly what you're saying. Out comes this incredible sense of gratefulness for what God has done. And the same thing happens when we do praise and worship. And the same thing happens from the red or brown hymn book or whatever color that thing is. Or the blue hymn book. Let bubble out of you what's in there because of this amazing experience that we've had, led by the Spirit, exercising our spiritual gifts in the church. And then it says, and then don't forget to turn your face to God and praise God and thank God for all that he has done.
Okay, so Paul gives us a good outline of what it means to live healthy lives as Christians. But what I'm hearing you say is, slow down and know God's in control. But what is our takeaway?
Our takeaway from this passage, there's four things that come to mind. The first one is, when we chain ourselves together, we become different people and we are enriched and we are allowed to enrich other people's lives. How amazing is that? Hard work, but wonderful. The second takeaway from this passage is, we belong. We belong and are embraced. God has given us to each other as a gift. Pardon me. And we build each other up and we encourage each other and we hold each other when they're hard and we dance together. And that's the second one. The third one is, as I mentioned earlier, God's design is to bring all of the cosmos into redemption, the peace that he has called for us to do. And when we begin to do these things, he invites us to partner with him. Remember when you were a little kid and your parents are out doing yard work and they give you a little rake and you can help and you feel so proud of yourself? And it's a little bit like that in our Christian life. God invites us as individuals and as a church to partner with God as he is about the work of reconciling the world to himself. And the final thing is, when we come to that point in our life where we begin to think about the end of life, we ask the question, am I at peace with where I've gone? And we look back as we have struggled to be a faithful church, and we can say with Paul, yeah, I've run the race. I've fought the good fight. I am at peace with my life. Now, some of you may have been raised like me where guilt was kind of the key motivator in your life. And we look back and say, oh, but look at all the mistakes. I did this, I did this, I didn't do this. And God says, just a minute. There's something called grace here. That kind of stuff gets washed away. It's forgiven. It's gone. And what I see is the work that you've done to follow me. Well done, good and faithful servants. And when we get there, God only hands out, speaking of the Olympics, one kind of medal, gold. We all land up with a gold medal as we faithfully follow. As you join with me in struggling to follow the way of God in the context of the church, may you experience the incredible sense of joy and hope and love and peace that God fills our heart with.
Please turn in your blue hymnal to number 307, Will You Let Me Be Your Servant? We will sing verse 1 and 2.
Love, for Christ has called you to live in peace among your brothers and sisters in Christ. Go now in health, for Christ has called you from the places of your life to be agents of redemption and partners in healing. Go now in joy and thanksgiving, for Christ is our light. Go now as one body to love and serve God as you love and serve the world.
please stand for benediction song, it's the insert in your hymnal. So let the beautiful words of this benediction be with you as you leave. We'll sing it through two times.